This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
Jay Buhner just punched me in the kidney.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Well, we're going to excuse you from the interview.
Doesn't really work that way, Sherm. This is a show that has my name on it.
It kind of does, though.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen in Ballard.
Now, here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Hello!
Yeah, final hour here for us this morning, coming off a couple of championship games yesterday with storylines galore. Unfortunately, the first game, it just didn't deliver. I mean, what are you going to do? First quarterback gets hurt, second quarterback is bad, and then he gets hurt, and the first quarterback comes back in and can't throw. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a ton to talk about after that, and I don't know what you say if you're in San Francisco today doing radio. Well, and you're like, well,
I
all
do.
Right.
I know what to say.
You're already talking about the future.
Yeah, you're talking about this MRI today.
Yeah, no
Brock Purdy's elbow.
But about the game yesterday, you're like, right. Well, did my team really get beat? Or right. Did some shadow of my team get beat? But the other game, you know, like a lot of NFL playoff games that are played in Kansas City, ends with a little bit of rules controversy. And I was shocked at how many people came out and said that flag that was thrown for the late hit out of bounds was a mistake. That it shouldn't have been thrown. Now, I understand that the officiating was not great in that game. I understand that it was a really bad look when they had to come in and stop the play, and then they screwed it up, and they gave him another chance, and then there was a penalty. But as bad as it was handled, yeah. I think the result was accurate, if that makes sense. They didn't do it well because Torber is the ref, the head official there, and yeah. He is just kind of looks lost and isn't great at explaining any of this stuff. He's kind of a mess. He's not in command. But I thought they got it all right. Yeah. I was really surprised at how many people seemed to feel as if they legitimately should not have thrown that flag for a late hit out of bounds. So, I mean, I asked people on Twitter, got a ton of response to the poll. And with 3,700-plus votes, it's about 56.5 to 43.5 in favor of throwing the flag. But nearly 45% of people wouldn't have thrown the flag there. He hit him 2 feet out of bounds.
Well, I think those people would say, hey, listen, in that moment, you can't have a call that determines the outcome. And in fact, what, three plays earlier on a punt return, you kept the flag in your back pocket. I don't know if you saw the egregious block in the back.
Yep.
I mean, it was, and I think quite
and
honestly.
And even on that play, there was a holding call that probably could have been made.
I think quite honestly, if that's a punt return in the first quarter, if that's a punt return in week 13, if that's a punt return just about any other time, I think that penalty is called. I think in that moment, they said, I don't want to be the call to just all of a sudden, you know, just send this game to overtime. Okay. Because if that's called, then it's going to be, you know, a penalty from where the ball was caught, and it's going to go to overtime. So I'm not going to make the call then, but in that moment, I'm going to make the call to largely.
I really don't think that's the case, Brock. The NFL is not like hockey. In hockey, at the end of the game, you put away your whistle. And unless somebody drags you down on the way to the net, you're probably not going to get a penalty called in the last few minutes of most hockey games, especially once you get into the postseason. But in the NFL, they call these lousy PIs all the time. 50 yards downfield, chuck it up deep, up, PI. In fact, didn't the Bengals get the advantage of that last week? A kind of iffy PI call down the field?
You're talking about the one where they dove in the Bills hit each other? I'd call that a PI.
All right.
You're, I think, the only one saying that. I wouldn't throw that. It was
a
PI.
Every PI call is iffy, for the record.
Magnitude of the penalty.
But you can't tell me that, like, if the NFL refs are willing to throw flags like that, don't tell me they're not willing to throw a flag the next week. Yes, they are.
Well, they don't throw it at the end of the game on Hail Marys. They clearly
that's
do not.
True.
They let that just go.
That's true, as they should.
Yep, that's just playground, and you grab and pull.
The one that's bothered me the most is the intentional grounding. That's the one that, like, is always going to bug
me. I'm kind of with you on that one.
P. Ryan is right there.
That's a bad call.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
10-second runoff changes everything.
That's a bad call.
Well, and it didn't help that Tony Romo said there's no one in the area.
Yeah. I mean, this is huge.
Right.
This is huge, Jim. There's nobody here.
Actually,
I'll tell you what, Jim. I think they're going to get him for a late hit out of bounds. Oh, no, wait. It's intentional grounding. Sorry.
He was there, and he was around it. And you do let quarterbacks protect themselves. You know, after the game, the white hat has to meet with The referee has to meet with the media, and that was certainly what he was asked about. And he stood by what he, Torber, stood by what he said, you know, why they called it. That, yeah, they didn't feel like the running back was in the area.
Yeah, he was. It's a bad call. 100%. I think that was just a bad call, and it's funny that it came from above, too, right? I mean, that came, I think, from the NFL in New York, not necessarily mm-hmm. from the crew in the field, given mm-hmm. the way he was listening, et cetera. So that one was definitely surprising, but
yep.
you got to throw the penalty at the end. He's 2 feet out of bounds.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a penalty. And yep. if Mahomes gets hurt there, God forbid, I mean, yep. come on. You can't allow guys to hit that far out of bounds. And I don't care whether it's the final drive. You can't, that's on the player yep. much more so than it's on the referee.
Yeah, and that's one of those moments that Winston Churchill, the man in the arena, right? Is he the one that when you're in the here's the consequences of it, man. You can be the hero. You can be the GOAT.
Yep.
And that is a play that Joseph Asai is going to remember for the rest of his life. Yep. Those images of him crying on the bench. With, I wish there were more teammates, frankly, that came around him, and certainly not teammates that like Jermaine Pratt that cussed him out, you know, walking into his locker room like, shut your mouth. I mean, now's not the time. I know you're a free agent, know you're out of here, but that I did not.
Wait, there were
like
guys cussing him out.
Oh, you didn't hear that?
No,
that went viral. Oh yeah, yeah. They had a camera there as the Bengal players were walking in the locker room, and Jermaine Pratt, actually a guy that I highlighted, linebacker, free agent,
yeah.
good player. And, yeah, he is just losing his mind and just swearing, like, not the time to touch a quarterback. You know, you know. You know,
I've heard that, though, from other folks in the game, that's how a lot of the defensive players felt about it.
Yep.
That, hey, that's just, you've got to know. You've got to know better.
No, Bruce.
It's one thing when it's the sort of gray area around the quarterback and hitting him in the pocket late. I understand that that's frustrating or receiver, defenseless, that stuff. This wasn't any of that. He's got both feet out of bounds. You have been taught that since you were playing Pop Warner football, man.
And he's running out of bounds.
I know.
Like, and he's on one leg, and you know that he's not going to cut that back in. So you just got to somehow in that moment as you're running full speed.
You got to lay off him.
You just have to fly into one of your coaches. There's just going to be some other guys on the sideline. I'm sorry, because you know you can't just all of a sudden stop. I mean, he is running full stinking speed. He is given the utmost effort. More asked about the pursuit of those 49ers. He is playing all out because that's the only way that guy from Texas knows how to play. But in that moment, man, there's got to be other collateral damage. You got to fly into coaches, fly into guys on the bench. You got to do whatever. You just can't hit Mahomes right there.
No, they're going to call that, I think, every single time. So, and what a bummer for them. It would have been fascinating to see what would have happened without that call.
So there
have
been about 7 seconds.
Yeah, seven or eight
seconds
left.
The ball's at the 40-yard line, no timeouts.
Right.
So I think they would have gone back and run it back, looked at the clock, and probably put 8 seconds because I wanted to see and go back.
Yeah, so it would have been about 8 seconds.
8 seconds, 40-yard line, no timeouts.
You can't kick there, right?
Nope.
It would have been a 60-yard field goal. So I think it actually would have been the 43-yard field goal.
Yep.
So because they ended up being a 45-yarder. So it would have been a 60-yarder.
Yeah. Nope, can't do that.
You can't take 60 yards with 8 seconds left. You've got
to get at least
once.
10 yards. You don't have time to throw it over the middle and get the ball clocked. So it would have been a boundary throw, and could you have created something enough? Since he's very well coached,
I know.
Don't think they would have given up a throw on the sideline.
And then we would have been lucky enough to see Tony Romo attempt to explain the new overtime rules, which would have been great. If only that had happened, that would have been the icing on the cake of the day. Tony coming in to try to explain what was going to happen next in overtime.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, I thought it was going to be one of the great championship weekends of all time, and it very nearly delivered. Unfortunately, game one, it just wasn't the way it was supposed to be. Not after watching Brock Purdy get hurt and then Josh Johnson get hurt and Purdy come back in but not being able to throw. That just really wasn't the way that game was meant to be played. George Kittle afterwards on what their message was inside the huddle.
I mean, he was just jacked to be able to be out there. I mean, he knew. He was like, hey, I mean, I'm not going to be able to throw the ball at all, so you know, might as well have fun. That was kind of just our message was, F it. What else are you going to do? You're just going to roll over and die, or are you going to go out there and be violent, be physical, and do everything you can to put something good on tape.
Yeah, you can tell he's mad, Brock, because he's cursing.
Yeah, a bunch, a lot. I think many of us figured when Trey Lance went down and Jimmy Garoppolo went down and Brock Purdy went in, that we would see Brock Purdy play, frankly, like Josh Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Unaware of a play clock, three delay of games, can't communicate, can't catch a snap, fumbles a perfect snap to him. And I think that's what many anticipated, you know, how discombobulated they would be when it went to QB3 and Brock Purdy. That was not what happened. He went out and threw 14 touchdowns and two picks, went 7-0, and absolutely looked like a pro. Josh Johnson, unfortunately, did not. And you're right. I mean, that was a physically violent game. And if Brock Purdy is there, that's going to be a very competitive game. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, he's not. And in some ways, you only have yourself to blame. When you leave Haason Reddick one-on-one with your backup tight end on an extended play-action pass, and Brock Purdy gets hit the way he did, and his arm bends backwards, and now pretty significant, by the way. This will have some ramifications in the whole QB market, the whole QB world, and it's a QB market that we're watching closely with Gino. If he ends up tearing his UCL, which is getting an MRI today and has to have Tommy John, he won't be playing next year. And Trey Lance or Jimmy Garoppolo will be back in San Francisco.
And in the meantime, Philadelphia is a juggernaut. I really like that team. Fun to watch, like the way they're built, and in so many ways an interesting model for the Seahawks. And I think as similar to the Super Bowl Seahawks as any team we've seen since.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, they are going to play the Chiefs. It took a roundabout way of getting there. And in fact, one of those controversial plays that just seemed to follow that team around.
But you still got a chance to clock it. Take your time and take the shot down. Here's Mahomes rolling out on 3rd and 4. He's going to go for the Ash. He's got the marker. He's got the out of bounds to stop it. And Osai was hurt as he hit the bench. And a flag's coming in.
Yeah, and there's going to be a debate about whether or not the flag should have been thrown or what Osai was even doing in that spot. But it is also worth noting that for a guy who was hobbled and didn't run all game in that moment when his team needed him to, Mahomes is still able to go get that first down when he really needed it. It's a pretty incredible situation. He doesn't point at the hobble or point at the foot the way Ben Roethlisberger would have, but he was clearly hurting, clearly couldn't push off that leg, didn't run much, but in the moment, he was able to grit through it, and it obviously paid huge dividends.
Yeah, you said this earlier in what we learned, I think at 7:30, and I think it was an astute point, man. To get to this stage of the game and to get to the Super Bowl in today's NFL, where there is a lot of balance, there is a ton of parity, you can build your team in a number of different ways. You have to have two things, good fortune, and you better be complete. Because if you're not a complete team and receivers 4, 5, 6, and 7 have to play like they did in Kansas City and you can't function, you're not gonna win that game. If you're not complete on every level of your team, defensively and offensively, you don't get to this stage. And, well, the number one seeds, there's only one of them that gets a first-round bye. It's both Philly, it's Kansas City, and it is setting up for, at least on paper, a pretty incredible Super Bowl.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, it's kind of an up-and-down weekend for the Kraken as well, but all's well that ends well. They get a win over Columbus to split the weekend and send them into the All-Star break, Brock, alone in first place in the Pacific Division, which is great to see. Unfortunately, the bad news, Matty Beniers missed both games due to what we think is a concussion. We don't know. All we know is it's an upper body injury. But after seeing his head bounce off the ice after that cheap shot from Tyler Myers, I think it's a fairly safe assumption to make. And we don't know how long that'll take. Maybe he'll be ready to go by the All-Star game, maybe by the end of the All-Star break, or maybe it's going to take longer than that. It's one of those things where you just have no idea how long it can take to heal.
Well, I hope he gets a chance to play in that All-Star game. He'd be the lone representative for the Kraken. Yeah. I hope he gets that chance to show his talent and on that stage, because he's worthy, he's deserving, he was voted in, and it'd be a bummer if he's not there. Earlier this morning as well, as if you missed it, we had a little breaking news. We don't get to do a lot of breaking news on the morning show. Usually news doesn't happen until a little later in the day, but Sam Heward came on and made his announcement clear that he is going to transfer to Cal Poly. He's going to be reunited with his high school coach, try to build a program that's been in the basement back up. I'm going to guess a teammate or two, and there's already been one, is going to find their way to Cal Poly and play in that air raid and throw it all over the yard.
That'd be pretty cool. Looking forward to it. And, yeah, Sam was great. It was nice to have him on this morning. It's everything you need to know, quarter past every hour here on the new Brock and Salk Show.
It's nice to know, too, right? It's nice to not have to limit our guest list.
Well,
That's nice to know. Well, the college kids can get up before 10, even at 8 a.m. and function.
I mean, I broke the rule for Sam, and obviously he delivered.
Uh-huh.
I don't know whether that like gives me confidence to continue to break that rule.
Kelsey Plum, she delivered.
Right.
I mean, let's not focus on the negatives. Let's not focus on those. That,
really? Because we could. There's been enough of them. I mean, you've mentioned a few, but there's more, right? I mean, do we have Chris Polk on? I don't think that went very well. Vita Vea, Austin Seferian, Jenkins. Who did we have on last year? Did somebody? Oh, Penix. There have been enough guys to break the rule of college kids before 10 a.m. I don't know whether Sam's performance is going to be enough to put me
over
the top.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. Something tells me you'll talk me into it again, and then either I'll get to make fun of you some more, or we'll have a great interview with somebody. Yeah. Kind of depends.
And were you bummed like I was bummed that Burkhardt didn't go three quarters zip? I mean, were you watching the Open intently as I was watching the Open? Really?
No.
Oh, I was a bit bummed.
No, I didn't watch it.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay. I know that's big for you. You know what I got to tell you? You know what I don't care about at all?
What?
Are the pregame shows on these networks. I don't watch them at all. And I did when I was younger. I mean, and it's not that I'm not excited for the games. I can't wait.
Yep.
But I really find there's so many people. It's really challenging to watch for me.
Correct. Yeah, it is so, gosh, just, and I get it. I mean, there's a familiarity and a comfort, right, is with these shows and Fox's pregame with Kurt and the whole crew still rates number one. I mean, it beats ESPN and CBS and all the others, but man, there are so many. Now Gronk is kind of thrown into the mix, and you know, you just kind of keep adding, and at some point, it just feels like a lot of volume.
If you were in charge, what would you do with that?
If I was in charge, I would look at the best studio show going right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the best studio show, there is no question about it, is Charles, is Kenny, is Shaq, and is Ernie. And those four, and I don't think you can get beyond four. I don't. I think three is a sweet spot. I think four stretches it, and you better have four that listen and enjoy each other and love each other and could take a conversation anywhere and everywhere and still trust that it will circle back and have a great air traffic controller like Ernie. But once you get beyond four, you've lost me. And frankly, beyond three starts to get to me.
Yeah, I mean, they did that for a long time without Shaq, and it was just as good. I mean, I love Shaq. He's just, he is the perfect compliment.
He's kind
of
a half because he hardly says anything.
Right.
And when he does, he's kind of more.
But that's what's great about Shaq.
Correct.
Right? He's subtle and he's funny in his own way.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I mean, two or three guys is sort of all, or people is really all you need.
Yes.
And then some other, you know, ancillary pieces that you go to. It just. I don't know.
It's like our show. You got Maura and Justin and me three, and you're kind of the half.
I kind of say everything and again.
Yes.
All right. Well, I asked a question this morning, Brock, at about 6:45 that might be the best question I've ever asked on this show. How about that? I'll ask you next. It's Brock and Salk, Sales Sports on 710, salesports.com.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
You know, Brock, it's not often that I praise myself. But in this case, I think
You
may have asked the best question of my life.
Yep.
So I'm going to play you two pieces of sound, and then I'll ask you the questions. Brock and Salk here, Seattle Sports on 710 in this hour, brought to you by 3010 Weight Loss for Life. Let me play you two pieces of sound, and then I will ask you what I think might be the best question I've ever come up with on this show. How about that? So here you go. This is Julio Rodriguez, Mariners center fielder, accepting his Rookie of the Year award over the weekend. Here's a little bit of Julio.
What can I say? I want to thank God. I feel like without him, like I wouldn't have been here. Like I feel like really blessed for all the opportunity he put into my role that I was able to take advantage of it. I want to thank the baseball writer, Sue, for voting for me. Thank you, guys. That was very nice of you. And I want to thank my family. I feel like that's my core support. I feel like that's the people that was with me since day one. My agents, my support team, everybody that made sure that things are lined up for me, that I was made sure that I'm training with the right people, doing the right thing, always guiding me from the right direction. I feel like without them, I would not be here right now. And
so there's a little bit of Julio accepting his award. Here's some more later.
For all those young guys out there, I just really hope that there's other guys that come and do this and feel motivated about my role too. I just hope that they keep achieving new heights and they also take the game to the next level, just playing the game in the right way, by having fun with it, and just keep representing their families. Like, don't let anybody set your limits. Don't let anybody tell you you cannot do it. Look at my example, 20,000 people, and I'm here in front of you guys. Feel really blessed for that, and don't let anybody set your limits. Thank you, guys.
So that's the beginning and end of Julio Rodriguez's acceptance speech for his Rookie of the Year award, which, of course, was deserved. Here's my question for you, Brock. Is Julio perfect? I'm not joking. Is he the perfect human? Like, it sure seems like it. And I know we have this habit in America where we kind of build people up to perfection and then we tear them down, et cetera, when they can't live up to the unbelievably high expectations we've set for them. And maybe that will one day be the story arc of Julio Rodriguez. But I doubt it. He has his head so squarely on his shoulders. He's so, it appears, well-raised, thoughtful, authentic. I mean, his ability to say all the right things and mean them and surprise us with them, et cetera. I don't know whether I can ever fully remember an athlete who was able to do all of that while still performing at the incredibly high level that he does.
Yeah.
He is, and is his age. He's wise beyond his years. He's incredibly talented. He's incredibly genuine and authentic. His teammates love him. The people around the league love him. His coachings and managers and organization loves him. The fans love him. And he delivers at every point. He's wonderful, and I think he might be perfect.
I think he's handled this 3-4 year journey as well as any athlete we've ever seen in this market. I can't speak for any other and every other market, but I can speak to this one over 40 years pretty well in the broad scope of all of the sports and all of the different athletes that have come through here. But from him sitting in the stands, watching his teammates when he was in the minors working up and not being bitter, from him supporting others and using that we pronoun, not just because you should or, you know, you think it would sound good, but because you genuinely own that. It is about the we. You know, Jerry was on last week with us, and I believe Felneen Celestine has come out of the same mentorship as Julio. That's part of the reason they feel, I think, confident giving him $4.5 million as a 17-year-old is some of his joy and some of his maturity and some of his understanding of the others that go before you to set the table for you. And then when you do get a chance to go eat, don't forget them. And as I was thinking through this, some of the other Seattle superstars, as you said, like star level, not role players that have been great, humble, dudes.
No, I'm talking about people who are at the star.
Genuinely selfless stars. Sue Bird is way up there.
Mm-hmm.
Breonna Stewart, who's deciding between the Storm and New York. I mean, those are two of the greatest to ever play. I think Kelsey Plum, I mean, all three of those women's basketball players were all phenomenal in that regard. Certainly Nelly Cruz had that same charisma, same joy. People loved him.
Mm-hmm.
He gave back. He never forgot where he came from. He built and bought fire trucks, for his
communities. But Nelly's not perfect, unfortunately. I mean, Nelson Cruz, as much as I love him and want to celebrate all those things about him, was also popped for roids.
Yep.
Right. I mean, unfortunately, while it doesn't particularly bother me, it's still part of his legacy, unfortunately, although he's done a pretty good job of making people forget about it by what he's done since. But,
so from this talent level, though,
but Russ, A-Rod, I mean, think about Russ right at the very beginning.
Yep.
From day one, we were at least asking questions about the authenticity and the endorsements and some of the other stuff and his team. Like, as much as we were there on the bandwagon 100%, that was a bit of a question mark.
People, there's a reason those Michigan State guys hated him.
Apparently. Apparently there is.
Yes.
You got Griffey. I mean, Griffey is so different, and he's in his own stratosphere.
But he was moody. He was a reluctant star. He didn't love that and didn't shower others. Not that he was, selfish, but he was just not wired the way that that Julio's wired. A-Rod, not wired the way that
Certainly
Julio
not.
Is wired. And Gary and Sean for the Supersonics, just superstars, not necessarily wired in that capacity. Ray Allen, actually, Jesus Shuttleworth, is a name that comes to mind. Ray, when Gary and Sean and those guys moved on and it was kind of Ray Allen's team, I think Ray Allen has some of that same some of that same joy and is willing to kind of just give everybody else credit. But as I hear Julio, and I can't be the only one that thinks this and remembers this, but when I hear Julio, I actually hear Jerry DePoto and John Stanton actually with us talking about Julio's mom and like, yeah, I'm not flying out for a press conference, right? I mean, you talk about grounded and that makeup and that home that he grew up in, and mom's like, no. And the owner, the Mariners saying, no, we'll fly you out. And her saying, no, that's a waste of money. I'll right. watch it. You know, don't waste. Who does that?
My mom would have said something like that. Oh, no, yeah. Not me. I don't deserve that. Please,
you know what?
No.
Peg and Jane probably would have, actually.
Yeah, yes. I think, and my mom would have been like, no, I'd prefer to take a covered wagon. There's no way I should fly me. No, no way. No, thank you.
Yeah. But, man, is it something special when you have your superstars, your most talented mm-hmm. player, that selfless, right? And genuinely, that's not an act. That's not, hey, man, your agent or your marketing director telling you, hey, this is how you should say that. Now, listen, this is what, you know, let's frame it this way. Make sure you give everybody else credit. Make sure you use the we pronoun. Like, no. I mean, that is a...
It's just who he is.
It's just genuinely who he is.
And I'm sorry, I can't get over his ability. And Manny Acta brought this up to us last year. How far he's come in such a short amount of time in speaking in this language that was not the one he grew up speaking in.
Yep.
And I can't help but contrast it to Kevin Mather's comments that the kid didn't speak good English, because he couldn't be more wrong. I'm consistently impressed, not amazed anymore, but impressed by his ability to understand the subtleties mm-hmm. of the English language. And what he says mm-hmm. there at the end, Mora pointed it out, is really great. Thinking about not letting anybody set limits for you. Again, to say things like that in a yep. language that is not your first, I yep. think is truly remarkable. But he also makes some really good points. And Mora brought it up earlier, right? I mean, this is a guy who was told you're too big for center field. Nope. I'm going to set that limit, thanks, not you. Mm-hmm. But also a guy who knows when to set his own limits of, hey, I've had a little too much press recently and it's affecting me. I need to back it off. Sorry, guys. I need to go concentrate on baseball. He knows his own limits mm-hmm. and he knows when other people are setting them for him inappropriately.
Yeah.
What a he's 20, just turned 22.
Maybe being told that his English wasn't quite good enough. Like there's a lot of things.
It's unbelievable. And he doesn't, you know, he doesn't go down the athlete trope of, you know, you guys said I couldn't do it, and look what mm-hmm. I can do, even though
disrespect.
I've been disrespected. He doesn't do any of that.
Mm-mm.
He doesn't. I mean, he's remarkable. So I am going to try to teach him this year how to be negative. I tried last year at spring training. I asked him if he wanted me to help with that. He gave me a straight up hand to the face.
Yep,
so
good.
This year I'm going to take it as a personal challenge to see if I can really inject some negativity into Julio's world.
Okay, I'll give you two other thoughts.
People were
let's not
wanting you replaced today.
Right. Actually,
they're really going
to
want
you. Give a 0.0 chance seems to go the opposite. Maybe think about that.
Maybe that's what I should do.
Let me give you two last thoughts on this. Number one, on kind of a deeper level, you talk about vision and limits. You know, when we've traveled with Compassion, and I've gotten a chance to do that to Guatemala twice, to El Salvador, and I've been to the Dominican, actually, with Dave Alley's charity ministry that he works with. But all of them said the same thing, like, hey, make sure, don't minimize, like, where you're from. Don't minimize, like, hope. Don't minimize vision. Don't do that. You know, you really want to give them more to hope and aspire to, you know, because part of me is like, I don't really want to talk about like myself or any. No. Go share your life. Go share your story with them, because that does present that level of hope and opportunity that is empowering, really, really empowering. Number one, I'll tell you the other name that didn't come to mind right away. But as far as a Hall of Famer, that was pretty darn selfless. Edgar Martinez.
Yeah, that name came up here in the text machine.
Did it? Yeah. Now, Edgar, from a language barrier standpoint, did not jump in with 2 feet like Julio, and mm-hmm. certainly not at that age. And I think at times was uncomfortable, right, on the stage because of that. I don't really need any of that. Let me just go hit this baseball and hit it better than anybody ever has as a designated hitter, certainly in Mariner land. So Edgar was that way without maybe the charisma. Without the connection, without understanding,
but that's why I think the question about Julio goes even beyond that, because he does have the charisma.
Yep.
Because he does have all that, and it's not easy to have that level of charisma in this day and age without it coming across either as phony or as over the top. Right? I think you're right. I don't think Travis Kelce's phony, but it's over the top in a way that I think is a huge turnoff and certainly is polarizing. I know a lot of people love it and a lot of people don't. I don't know how anybody wouldn't like Julio. I mean, I think he's like as uniting a figure as you're ever going to find. Now, maybe over time that goes away. If the Mariners win 5 World Series, maybe people in other cities will hate him because they constantly see him just, you know, smiling at the podium. Maybe if he wins 5 MVP awards, maybe one day the success goes to his head or he, I don't know, gets into a contract dispute or who the heck knows.
Yep.
But as of right now, well, it's hard to fathom any of that stuff.
I hope one trait that he carries with the guy that he is compared to in this market that has a statue outside of it that is the Hall of Famer, who had a energetic, you know, million-watt smile like him, Ken Griffey Jr. Ken Griffey Jr., until, you know, late in his career and injuries ravaged his body and everything, man, he had a joy to play. Just a childlike joy to play, right? Just a smile that just ignited a clubhouse and ignited a fan base and ignited a market and baseball. I very much hope, and I know it will be for a number of years because, as you said, he just turned 22. Sheesh. But I hope that just childlike joy to play the game sustains.
That'd be really, really cool. I hope you're right. And, yes, I think Julio Rodriguez might be perfect. So that's kind of where I'm at as of this morning. You know what else is perfect? The way we end every morning here.
Oh.
By doing a little ranked.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwumfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Saul.
Yeah, top 10 list. I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
All right, this morning, Justin was upset that he felt like the Chiefs were given a few extra downs.
Yeah, I think we should just give him a home 6 from now on.
Everybody else gets 4. He feels like the Chiefs get multiple 5-6 downs to try to get a first down. And so that in mind, Brock, we are ranking downs this morning. Okay. Downs ranked, like 311. Kind of an obvious one.
I bet you know all the words to that.
Kind of hard. They're a little quick.
Okay.
Some of their other songs, yes. Not that one.
Mm-hmm. Got an 11. You always double down on 11.
I know, but it's $200. It's blood money. You like it, gotta double down. I can't double down. I
said, double down.
Yeah. That's why we call them double down.
The double down sandwich.
Yes. From KFC.
Yep.
Yes. That's a little Talking Heads. Mm. Brock, I know you liked this one last week, so we'll play for you again.
Ella went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul steal. He was in a bag. He was way behind. He was willing to make a deal.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you got all those.
He was doing time and he took
Town. We got Petula Clark last week for Towns. Both downs and
towns. I don't know why you guys get so worried about whether you're repeating ranks when you just play songs from other ones.
Well, because
every
they're,
day.
You know, different. You got Three Doors Down. If I go crazy, then will you still call
me Superman? That's pretty good.
You like that one?
I do.
Oh, okay.
That's a good workout. That's a good workout interview. Song.
Goo Goo Dolls did Long Way Down. It's a good one, Justin, but not as good as when you had Iris for Eyes. That was great.
I know.
That was really great.
No one likes it.
Of course, Brock, the guy who plays Iron Man is...
Robert Downey.
There we go. Nice. I knew you'd come up with that one. Of course, you had that show on HBO about the baseball player who had quit. He's kind of getting old and fat and coaching locally in high school. That one was called Eastbound and Down.
All right, Eastbound
and Down.
Never saw that one.
Okay.
Was it good?
It's funny.
It's funny.
Yeah. It's
all right. It didn't have a lot to it. It's
kind of the same thing over and over.
Brock, do you remember the greatest trash-talking moment in sports history that we played here on this show? It was not from any of the major sports played physically, but from esports.
Oh.
Do you remember what happened when this guy won?
Oh.
Do you remember what he said?
Download complete.
The reaction is really
well. Oh, that is good.
It's so weird that I was watching that live. It's the strangest part of it.
That wasn't even during COVID, was it?
No, it was before COVID.
Brock, I got one for you. It's probably Salk's number one, but I'm just going to go ahead.
Okay, let's hear it.
sang that song?
Nope.
You hate Bow Down.
I think it's just dumb.
Ugh.
So arrogant.
You just...
It just rubs me the wrong way.
It really does.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Diana Ross. Said upside down, you're turning me. You're giving love instinctively. Round and round, you're turning me. That's a pretty good one. Maura thought of this one.
Let's hear it.
It's Marian Hill. We got some Rod Stewart. Well, I'll see you tonight. So cheesy, man. On the downtown train. Rod the Bod.
I hope that
more cheesy, Michael Bolton, Rod Stewart.
Oh, it's a good question. I think I'd go with Rod Stewart, even though Michael Bolton, like Michael Bolton's in his own category of cheese.
Yeah, and Rod Stewart had multiple phases of
right.
cheese.
Right. Yes.
Michael Bolton's been the same. Turn down for what?
I know you'd like this, Brock. Turn down for what? You're big. Big Lil Jon fan.
253 says, can't forget the direction your ratings go during rank, which is of course down.
Wow.
Wow. Don't play that too much because that's coming up in the top five.
Yeah, can't go any further on that one.
Oh, you don't want to go any further than that?
Nah. Right. Down Rodeo, though.
Yeah.
Let's get down.
Fair. It's fair. You know what song this is, bro?
It's very dark.
It's Down with the Sickness. I know how much you like Shine Down. All right. Good enough of that.
All right.
You ready for the top five?
Yeah.
Well, before we get there, because I know all the Paul Simon fans out there.
All the Paul Simon fans.
Yeah. I know how they are. All right. Yeah, okay, that's enough of that. Top five.
I've got a sound here. If you don't play this,
yeah,
I don't think you're allowed to do rank tomorrow. This is not in the top five.
I've got one, too.
Oh, wow.
No. Let's see.
I've got mine on my phone, so I'm going to let you kind of get through them.
Wow.
But if you don't play this,
yeah,
you don't get to do rank tomorrow. We'll replay Fine. Goldies from Thursday.
Feel free to do work yourself. Number five.
Oh. That's good.
Yeah.
Come on now.
That's been a work, of course, doing the land down.
Some would argue that should be higher, but okay.
I mean, top five.
What kind of sandwich did she make?
Vegemite.
Vegemite.
She just smiled, made me a Vegemite sandwich. Justin, I get what you're saying, but I think when you hear the four ahead of it, I don't know which one you're going to argue
okay.
with. Number four, Local Boys. I mean, you're not going to put Land Down Under ahead of Alice in Chains, are you?
I am not.
Okay, so far we're in the clear.
Yeah.
Maura, was that one of your two?
Nope.
Okay, me neither.
All right. Ooh, wow.
Salt.
It's tons of it, huh?
No, I'm just saying, like, this is the greatest down ever. So,
the greatest down ever?
Like, if you're going to play downs and rank downs.
What, you want, like Down Easter Alexa or something is like the from most, Billy Joel?
One of the most iconic ever.
One of the most iconic ever?
Ever. And it's not a first down or second down or third or fourth down or nothing like that. Sheesh. Nope.
Number three on my list. You're enjoying your day. Everything's going your way. Then along comes Debbie Downer. Always here to tell you about a new disease. A car accident or killer bees. Who beg her to spare you, Debbie, please. But you can't stop Debbie Downer.
Woo. One of the best SNL sketches of all
time. Maura, was that one of yours? Players? No, me neither.
Is it that?
No, we already played that.
We already played that.
Maura, do you want to play yours right now?
I'm disturbed that I don't know what these are. Yeah, play more. Maura, what is yours?
What do you got, Maura?
I hope.
I don't have it because I was waiting to see if you were going to play it. Okay.
I probably won't be. let's just assume that I won't be at this point.
Well, we already got three doors down.
Yeah.
They're all down the
track. I mean, I've got some Journey to play, and I've got some Tom Petty, so.
Ooh.
Doesn't sound like I have what you have. What do you have, Brock?
Okay, well, turn the music down because I'm going to play it from my phone. I've done this very well.
Great when you
ready?
Do this.
Ready?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Oh, come on.
Oh. And you may hear it. Down goes Frazier. That's good.
That is pretty good.
Yeah, that's a miss. That's iconic.
All right, I've got mine now, too.
What do you have, Maura?
Wake up! Wake up! Run, rush, and put a little makeup! I just have to be a way to shake up!
You wanted to.
Live on the table!
Wait, you're not putting that. That wasn't
System
coming
of a
up?
Down. Is not.
They're on my list, but they didn't make it into the top five. Sorry.
Wrong.
Well, we've had
you
some...
played Goo Goo Dolls and not System of a Down.
I just missed it. It's on here. Sorry, Goo Goo Dolls wasn't in the top five.
But you Number played music from them.
I know. I meant to. I have System of a Down.
This
I just
is a sports
it.
Show. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
Number two is Journey.
When the lights go down in the city.
Journey, Foreigner, and Tom Petty have been given sort of special privileges in the top five, it feels like. So.
True.
Brock, this is a sports show, but ranked is a music segment. Yep. Let's just be honest.
Yep. Oh, no. Brock's out again.
Wow. Number one. Wow. Booing Tom Petty. That man died.
Back down. Those are two great songs.
Like Tom Petty, this song has been in ranked like five different times.
The man died, Maura. Have some respect.
I thought you were going to sneak in the Downey fabric softener into the top five.
Or Downey, California. No.
Down goes ranked! Down goes ranked!
415 says Churchill Downs.
That's a good
Churchill
one.
Churchill Downs.
Yeah. That's a good one. Thank you.
253 says self, you're an embarrassment.
Well, that's a bit much. In. Let's tone it down.
Some 509, Paradise City.
Take me down to a Paradise City. That's a good one.
Where the grass is green and the girls are pretty.
For sure.
Uh-huh.
I want you to just take me down. Yeah, there are some others. That's all we had time for. Maura won't let us go longer. If we had more time, believe me, we would have thought about more of those.
Why does Stacey have to have a show?
Well, we could start it earlier instead of, prattling on about Julio.
Nope.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Until then,
it's in the barn.
It's way down in the barn. See everybody.
Get to the chopper!